I'm quitting there. Shabbos, everybody. We're about to begin Be'ezat Hashem, Shir number 191. Today we're going to talk about to enjoy the self-talk you tell yourself while doing things that you have to do. There's no way to get around it. We talked about this a lot. There's no reason for you to do things that do not speak to you or you find dull and boring. If it's something that you don't need to do or it's not important to do, then you could drop it completely and learn to do and enjoy healthy things that you don't find dull and that you don't find boring, that you do find interesting. But at the same time, what's very important to know is that in real life, very often we have to do very important, good, healthy things that to us may seem dull and boring. So lamashal, even in Limud HaTorah, some people love halacha. They love halacha lamaisa, and they love learning Hilchos Shabbos, halacha lamaisa, and everything, all of that. They love it. Beautiful. There's some people who don't love it or have a hard time with it, or they find it dull, they find it boring. But when it comes to halacha lamaisa, Orech Chaim, and Hilchos Shabbos in particular, the Mishnah Berurah talks about, you have to learn it, otherwise it's easy to be nechshel in it, so you have to know it. Certain things, for example, let's say ribis, be'ian, you may not necessarily have to, you have to be aware enough to know to ask the shayla. But those things you have to do whether you like it or not, whether you feel bored or not. Also in life it that way, also in marriage that way. So the question is how do you come up to muster that enjoyment when you don't feel enjoyment naturally? So that's a very important thing. When you can't come up with a creative way to enjoy what you are doing, you can still talk to yourself in an interesting and fun way to get yourself to enjoy that, even though you naturally don't have that tendency. Your hands will be engaged in activity that you need to do, but your mind will be engaged in a dialogue. Oh, this is interesting and even entertaining. See, how you're feeling at any given moment will depend greatly on your self-talk at that moment. If you start out with negative self-talk, that'll create distress. So you recognize your thoughts and you try to understand, are they good thoughts, bad thoughts, and you adjust. Listen carefully to this because this is very important. This is a real internal thing. Some people don't even think about using their minds to make their lives interesting and fun. They seek entertainment from the outside. And when there's no outside distraction, they talk them to themselves in distressing ways. That's such an important aside. Such an important aside. People have learned to talk to themselves in ways they find enjoyable, then they'll find enjoyment. While others think in distressing ways, they will feel distress. When you think in joyful ways, you won't procrastinate, you'll get more done, and you'll be happier about it. You can always think thoughts of gratitude, which will lift your spirit. That's the Shirish of Simcha. You can learn to be grateful for each and every breath and be grateful for being alive. One Eitzah is, he says it in his Sefer of Zelig Pliskin, and always to keep a gratitude journal, to write down things that you're grateful for each and every day, and the list will add up, and it'll make it easier for you to recall grateful thoughts. Even though you don't intrinsically enjoy it, you self-talk until you enjoy it. Shalom bias is very important pertaining to this. So I'm going to share this, what Zelig Pliskin says here, because it's a story regarding shalom bias. So listen carefully. A fellow who had serious difficulties in his marriage shared the following story with me. The biggest problem in my marriage is that when I grew up, I didn't have to do things I didn't enjoy. I wasn't used to doing menial tasks. My father was wealthy and hired people to fix things, to take care of everything around the house. We had maids who cleaned and shopped. But when I got married, my wife and I had to live on a limited budget. She expected me to take care of things I've never done before. We couldn't afford outside help. I felt she was being unfair, asking me to do many trivial things. My wife felt I was lazy and spoiled, because her father took care of many things that she expected me to do the same. I didn't think about this very carefully before we were married. I don't know what I expected, but I felt it was beneath my dignity to do many of the things that she wanted me to do. We had many quarrels about my not being open to doing what my wife expected me to do. I did a lot of things that I was asked to do around the house, but I was in a rotten mood much of the time. I would mumble to myself, I would grumble, I would whine, kvetch. I was not a happy camper. and this led to many arguments and many fights. What saved my marriage was the realization that I could control how I felt about doing the things that my wife expected me to do. I agreed that since we couldn't afford to hire outside help, I had to do much more than my father did. I heard a speech about how self-talk creates happiness or unhappiness, and I used to blame the misery on my wife, and that is why we didn't get along, but I came to realize that my unhappiness was self-created, not the other person. It's me, self-created. I was creating how I felt with my own mindset and what I was saying to myself, and I was resolved to talk to myself in ways that would enable me to be joyful. I decided that when I did things my wife expected me to do, I would view my tasks as noble acts of kindness. I visualized a whole crowd of people cheering of me. I was resolved to have fun. I was tremendously successful at having a great time. I no longer resented doing what I had to do. As a matter of fact, I actually enjoyed doing whatever I chose to do. This was the beginning of an harmonious marriage. My wife appreciated that I enjoyed doing things that she wanted me to do. She, too, began enjoy doing things that I appreciated her doing. And it was amazing how my entire life was much more joyful. So one idea to how to do this is very important. You know, you wash dishes with music. You're cleaning your aveiros as you're cleaning the spots on the dishes. You could figure out ways to do this. It's also an interesting insight, he says, similar concept. When people write to-do lists, consider adding the words to do it with joy list. You explicitly write to do it with joy. Gives you a valuable message. You're telling your mind to remember to be joyful. A person might be rushed to do all the things on the to-do list. A person may feel resentful and overwhelmed that they have so many things to do. But when you call it to do it with joy list, you're preparing yourself to feel good when you do things you want to do. And again, even if naturally you're not really thrilled about doing it, you train your mind to learn to accept, to figure out ways to enjoy it. This way you feel better about what you're doing, about the things on your list, and you'll contemplate about doing things with joy in a healthy way. And after you actually do it, you'll think about that simcha, and that simcha will spur you forward. If you didn't manage to feel joyful, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It's a process. Mentally prepare yourself for new things that you'll be doing and try to feel joy in the present. If you didn't have that simcha in the past, don't worry about it. That's over. That's done with. Focus on the next thing, the present and right now what I'm going to do. Focus on doing that next thing with joy. Keep on working hard towards that. So write to do the joy list on top of an index card, and every day for a month, even if you don't see any difference right away, be patient. You will see the benefits. Someone told me the following incident. When I first heard the idea about writing a to-do with joy list, I didn't think it would make too much of a difference. I had a bad feeling about writing to-do lists. Well, who was I fooling? I resented having waste time doing the items on my lists. I shared my thoughts with another person who suggested that I write the words with joy on the lists. Pulled out some stickers with yellow smiley faces on them and pasted one of the stickers on my card. I thought it was amusing and I smiled to myself. You're smiling right now, aren't you? He said to me, and I acknowledged I was. So right now, can you think of 10 different times that you had a very enjoyable time? I did. I felt great remembering those enjoyable times. So from now on, whenever you see a yellow smiley face on your to-do list with joy, you automatically be able to remember those and similar moments of laughter and humor and enjoyment and fun and celebration. And now I would suggest that you allow yourself to feel some of these good feelings when you take care of the items on your to-do with joy list. And I found this suggestion funny and I laughed. And I say, I see you have a sense of humor. As long as you allow this tool to work for you, you'll begin to find greater joy in doing the things on your list. So it's a matter of conditioning your mind. And he was right. It did work. I find it easier and more enjoyable to take care of the items with the to-do with joy list. And after trying this out and having it work for me, I realized that I had the ability to enjoy, and it was up to me to develop that attitude. I'm going to end this shiur with a very important point that I constantly stress. I, too, many, many years, even decades, had skepticism about this ability of how you could change your mindset and how you have the ability to change your attitude to 2 or 3 thoughts. It's not always so simple. Sometimes you need how to handle anxieties and depressions. Sometimes you need professional help. Sometimes you need a mentor to advise you. Some chizik. Everyone needs chizik and encouragement. But the premise, though, is true. No matter how much, if anyone listening, and it's understandable you believe, I can't do this. Every time I think a good thought, a negative thought comes in, I get dragged down, and it's impossible. Trust me, it's not. You force yourself. You keep on trying. You don't give up. It's within everyone's power. Like I said, yes, sometimes you need additional help and intervention, but it's all really primarily up to you when you need to get that intervention and when not to really work hard towards it. So do not give up. Keep on trying. Keep on thriving. Keep on working in believing that you could self-talk, that you could bring simcha through your words and through your actions, and that ultimately over time you could change the way you think and the way you process things, and you could transform yourself to do things with a simcha, with a meaning, and with a purpose for the rest of your life. But bracha v'atzlacha.